Last Thursday, Extinction Rebellion blocked the intersection of Broadway and West 44th Street in New York City, the busiest intersection in Times Square. 62 people were arrested for refusing to leave the intersection. In this segment, HMM host Chris and Erica interview rebels Jesse Marshall, Dave Pablo, and Jack and Francis McGuy, who were arrested at the demonstration.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Please.
Okay. I'm Dave Pablo, a sometime co-host here.
I'm Jack McGuy.
I'm Francis McGuy, also sometimes co-host.
And I'm Jesse Marshall. It's great to be here.
So what are the principles of nonviolent resistance, and why is XR committed to nonviolence?
Sure, I can take that. This is Jesse. So the basic idea behind nonviolent resistance is that people who have been shut out of normal avenues of power because they don't have the money or access to the political system have this other form of power, which is basically the ability to not comply with the rules of the game as they're set out. So we can use our bodies to basically get in the way and shut down business as usual. And when it comes to the climate crisis, it's kind of too late for anything but shutting down business as usual any way we can.
And so how did you practice passive resistance during this specific demonstration?
This is Jack. The three of us here glued and chained ourselves to a brightly colored boat, sailboat that was brought into the intersection, which took a long time to get us all detached from. And so it just created a disturbance and a, you know, something that was photogenic, as well as just sort of shutting down the normal flow of commerce and traffic there in Times Square.
And the majority of the arrestees simply sat around the boat as the people who were getting chained and glued to it glued and chained themselves to it.
And how did you practice passive resistance during the demonstration?
Well, I mean, just our presence essentially was passive resistance. As has already been described, the intent was both to make a visual iconic gesture that would be carried by local, regional, national, international news media, and that was successful in that respect. And also, this was part of a larger action by all the various branches of Extinction Rebellion, which started in the UK but has spread to the United States and other countries, and specifically to New York City and also to the capital region here.
So you all were arrested for this, correct?
Yes.
And yep. Were the charges or the way that you were treated after being arrested different for those that actually glued or chained themselves to the boat?
Yes, they were. Basically, the people who were sitting around the boat were given one or two violations and then released shortly after their arrest. And when I say shortly, we're talking within 6 hours or so, depending on different circumstances. But then the others of us who were locked were also given a misdemeanor, and we were held for approximately 32 hours the bulk of that in what's known as the Tombs, and that's central booking in New York City.
And what was your, like, experiences?
This is Jack. I found it really kind of rewarding and fascinating to meet up with people who, on the face of it, seemed like you know, the people who've been in and out of the system, and who my only other association with these people are the stereotypes that I've picked up from TV and movies. And so to start talking with these people and to sort of connect with them on a one-to-one human basis was pretty amazing. It was a very challenging situation in a lot of ways, but I felt like for me it was rewarding overall for that reason.
This is Francis. For me, it was very interesting. It was a rewarding experience in that I got to spend like several uninterrupted hours with a group of almost 40 men without their phones, which is like a very unique experience these days. I just got to talk about like what it means to be a man or labeled by the state as a man, and like how this movement is grappling with the issues of climate change and the climate crisis, how we're feeling about that. And honestly, like the whole experience of being in jail for a while was not as difficult as I expected it to be. The cops were incredibly gracious and chatty, actually, and the food was better than I thought it would be.
You had mentioned earlier, before we went on air, Dave, that the experiences that you had were pleasant, but that you had that wasn't necessarily the case for everyone. Like the people were in the tombs, so the people who had risked higher arrests were not necessarily locked up with other activists from the same action.
So that's an interesting topic, more than one of us probably want to weigh in on that one. But essentially, when we first got there, we were put as a group, and there were seven of us. And this is, you know, the men. In terms of the people that locked themselves to the boat, seven were men, five were women, and of course they were put in separate places. But
and one teenager.
Oh. Oh, right. But the teenager was released within 3 hours. Yeah. Right. But we were confined in different spaces. But at first, we wondered whether it was a racial thing because the seven of us were white. And then basically we were put in one cell. And then across the way, there were other people who were there for other issues. And they at first seemed to be mostly actually exclusively black and Latino. And then we, over time, they would bring others in with us, but bring others to the other cell. And it's still not completely clear as to why it was partitioned that way, except that some of the people in the other cell seemed to be there probably for longer term because their violations were greater. And one of our number, this guy Steve, was the first one of us called up. And they called up another person from the other cell across the way at the same time. They were then put in a holding cell to wait for a little while to talk to attorneys. And in that time span, the guy who Steve was paired with actually got violent with him, was slap punching him and kicking him. And Steve is apparently a black belt. So he mainly tried to defuse the situation, not escalate it. But it was a somewhat traumatic experience for him. And maybe some of us want to comment on the conditions of the cells themselves and just, you know, share what that was like.
I would love to do that. We spent about 30 hours in a jail cell, two stories underground, no windows, fluorescent lights on all the time, temperature maybe like 50 degrees. 55. Jack is mouthing. He's pretty precise about these kinds of things. No beds, not even enough benches actually for us all to sleep on a bench. And a diet mostly of peanut butter sandwiches and Cheerios for four meals straight. So we did get, you know, from our, you know, we're all white and relatively privileged. We got, in our limited way, a taste of what this system does to people. And there were things about it that were really tough. You know, we didn't get water for about half a day. There was just what struck me was just an overall feeling like you couldn't trust anything that anyone in a position of power said to you. That it was all you could really trust was that either they were making it up or they were not telling you the truth.
I think one of the things that we all benefited from was that, you know, over time they did bring more people into the cells with us, and we were exposed to people's circumstances that we otherwise wouldn't have seen. I had a similar experience when I was locked up there in 2012 for a similar environmental protest, just seeing people from underprivileged areas or people who'd gotten themselves in circumstances that they really couldn't quite digest. And you would see their stories evolve over the time that they were spending in the cell with us.
But then through it all, always lots of laughter and always a lot of solidarity and support away from it. Within, even in this, you know, two floors underground in a totally kind of oppressive situation, people still just coming together and helping each other out.
Right, and also despite many people coming off of a really traumatic and self-induced toxicity, still a lot of humanity came through.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the radio and speaking about your experience. Is Extinction Rebellion planning any more actions in the coming months?
We will be. We've got nothing specific yet, but you can check out our website at xrcr.life to find out more. And we have lots of talks and trainings coming up to prepare you all for things in the streets.